Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love. Military people have special rights
and privileges and exemptions, but they also have many special responsibilities. A lot of people are not aware of that. Excuse me. So we're trying to make people aware of that with the Steve Nery case, the U.S. Navy sailor who has gone through 16 years illegally imprisoned in the California Department of Corrections and have cost the American taxpayer so far an estimated $15 million. $10 million of that went to build a AIDS project to honor the sexual predator who assaulted him and previously several other young military, American military personnel. And Juan Pifre, whom this project is named after, was an illegal alien. His name has not come up today, but there was something on KPFA, the communist, or some people think it's communist, it's left-wing Berkeley radio station that featured an interview with a person, a professor at San Francisco State, an assistant professor, who is apparently trying to rehabilitate the reputation of Los Siete. These were the seven neighborhood thugs who were caught stealing, burglarizing a house in San Francisco's Noe Valley. They were caught by two San Francisco undercover police. There were a lot of controversies. The one policeman, Inspector Brodnick, was murdered during the altercation or the attempted arrest. His other partner, Paul McGorn, was wounded. It was a sensational trial here in San Francisco in 1969, featuring the Black Panthers. They brought in lawyers, left-wing lawyers from the National Lawyers Guild. The widow of Brodnick was personally assaulted, verbally assaulted. It was a controversial trial. One of the accused fled to Cuba. He was tried in absentia. The others ended up in state prison and died violently. These were no good nicks, but of course you will never know that by the radical left, who was the same type of people in the Nazis' political establishment that tried to rehabilitate the reputation of Horst Wessel. That's the Nazi marching song. He was a street thug, a rent boy, who was killed in a brawl on the street, and so the Nazis decided to make a martyr of him and completely rehabilitate his reputation. Excuse me, I'm still getting over that medicine I had earlier this afternoon. Now, and along with two other murders that are connected to San Francisco, the Ub de la Plaza, that occurred almost 5 years ago here in San Francisco. Ub de la Plaza had dual citizenship. He was born in France. His father was in the French Navy, and there are claims, the case had international profile. We had media people here from France. We had CBS's 48 Hours. A lot of the press coverage of a very brutal murder or homicide of a mid-30s young man who had a black belt in karate, and the coroner of San Francisco medical examiner claimed, until she backed down, that it was a suicide. Yet no weapon was found. There was blood on the steps, and the guy died in his apartment behind a locked door, which was believed to be locked by the person who assaulted him and killed him. So there's new police interest in the case. And then the federal judge in the Steve Nery case, the U.S. Navy sailor who was taken off the USS Carl Vinson aircraft carrier on the night of March 26, 1996, by San Francisco police using a fraudulent federal document, what is called a delivery document, fraudulently signed by an employee of the San Francisco District Attorney. So a federal judge, there's a new attorney who entered the case challenging the denial of parole. That's all he's filed right now. He's a former deputy U.S. attorney here in San Francisco who was one of the 50 who quit out of the 100 who worked in the U.S. Attorney's Office under the controversial administration of Kevin Ryan, who was a tried to become a federal judge. He had abrasive, incompetent, insensitive management style. It was weighing over his head. And in an unprecedented move, half of the attorneys quit rather than put his name on their resumes. So Stephen Gruhl came into the case in 2010 after the book came out, What's the Matter with California? And there is a lot. And so he filed a habeas corpus based on the denial of parole, and the federal judge and Ninth Circuit has ordered the state of California, Kamala Harris, controversial black woman who is controversially elected attorney general of the state of California, who's very pro-gay, lesbian, NAMBLA, transgender. Those have been her agendas. And she's another one weighing over her head. And so they're going to come up with all of the court filings and documents in the case. They have 60 days to do it. It'll be interesting to see if they comply or can comply. So we'll keep you posted on that, because what happened in San Francisco 16 years ago affects every U.S. military serviceman and woman. Also, another case where the San Francisco homosexuals in the DA's office tried to have a U.S. Marine, Mario Perdato, who was accused of beating up some Yale Whiff and Poof singers New Year's Eve 4 years ago. It was a drunken brawl. The Yalies were drinking. They were underage before they even came to San Francisco on New Year's Eve to sing at a party, and there was some altercation. And he was here, the Marine was here on leave. Now, whether a military person is on liberty or leave, they are still under the prior and predominant jurisdiction of the federal military. Not even an FBI agent can go onto a ship or a military base and grab an accused military person. There's a special procedure called delivering. You have to get the permission. I have to get a request from the governor of the state where these offenses are allegedly occurred, and then the Secretary of the Navy or the Air Force. The Army is a little different. And none of this occurred in the case of Stephen Ayer. It was all forged documents, and you can go to our YouTube website, Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas, and Stephen Ayer's case is up there. We've been getting hate mail, very offensive, but they've stopped. By people or a person who knows nothing about the case, but is gloating that Stephen Ayer was denied parole. And they're using the YouTube site to harass someone, which is illegal, and also may bring in federal interest because it's a federal military person and they're trying to intimidate witnesses who were in the case, including myself. Now, excuse me. Among the other things that we're changing our format, which we'll put an emphasis on some of the things you wanted to know but didn't know where to look or who or how to ask. So we'll be doing more on subjects along that line, such as, did you know that a lot of food labeling is done in code that you can't decipher unless you know the code? And how are you going to know the code, and how are you going to know it's fresh? How are you going to know that it's at the expiration date? Another thing that's just come up, auto insurance. Did you know that except in California and one other state, an insurance company can pull your credit record to see if you are creditworthy for them to insure you? This is illegal in California, but this has been going on. So we'll keep you updated on that. Among the other things that's come up, the black kid, the young black kid who, I think it was Southwest Airlines last week, when he came on the airplane with his pants dropped to beyond showing his buttocks, the pilot on the planes is like a captain of a ship. He is the supreme authority. And if he decides that you should be taken off the plane, you are asked to leave the plane, you have to do it. However, we have discovered that there may not be dress codes, printed dress codes for people. We've had women coming in on planes with in bathing suits, which is, you know, really isn't proper. Then this idiot last week trying to flaunt his cross-dressing coming to the airport in women's clothes, women's swimming pool clothes. I think it wasn't panties, but it looked like a swimsuit, and he looks horrible. He should have been arrested for unaesthetic exposure, but that happened last week, so maybe it's time for the airlines and the airports to publish printed dress requirements that you can't enter the premises or go onto a plane half naked or in a, wearing provocative clothes or wearing certain types of clothes. We're already patting people down to get onto the even to get to the land, to the boarding area. So there ought to be rules, printed rules, that people know what is proper behavior, and acceptable clothing to go into an airport and onto a plane. So there won't be any more of these distractions. Excuse me, I'm still suffering from that. Now, there are books that you should read if you want to be entertained and educated this summer. Among them is Jack Cashel's books. This is the anniversary of Flight, I think it's 800, the TWA, Trans World Airlines, which is no longer in business. I wrote a book along with a captain of what they think and other experts think happened to that TWA jet, which incidentally had some students who had graduated from high school in Pleasanton, California. It was their graduation present. They were on their, I think it was a soccer team. They were on their way to Paris, and they ended up dead in Long Island Sound. It was just horrible for these 18-year-old kids who were just starting their adult life. So Jack Cashel's, that's one of his books. Also, the Catholic Church is entering the web, and they're putting out a website. I haven't seen it yet. But also, the Catholic Church has got some serious money problems, and, of course, it's the wealthiest of all the religions. But the Church claims, and there's justification for this, that a lot of the wealth is in not in cash, it's in artwork and rare books and a lot of property. And so he put out a book, which I would recommend for everybody who want to understand the Catholic Church and finances and the history of the popes and bankers is the name of that book. And, of course, what's the matter with California? And there is a lot. The book is not specifically on Stephen Neri or O.J. My landlord went to school and played basketball with O.J. I didn't know that, and a lot of people didn't know that O.J.'s father was gay and a very bad father. And maybe that's one of the reasons O.J. turned out the way he did. But I was pretty curious that when he told me that, yeah, I knew O.J. Also, there's something about Andrew Cunanan, and that's the guy that was terrorizing everybody. Ironically, his father was in the U.S. Navy from San Diego, and he was a male prostitute and did porno, and he allegedly had drugged his victims, just like Juan Pifre did. That's in the book. And then Manson, who I had met on the street in the 70s in Haight-Ashbury. I didn't know who he was at the time, but I still remember being in the presence of what I thought was incarnate evil. I'll never forget that experience. And then there's most important thing about housing, that Jack Cashel had worked in the Kansas City Housing Authority. He was a whistleblower, and he got fired. He didn't have any money or a lack of money. He had to look for a job. His life was threatened, I believe. And he gets into why the cost of housing has been so high in California, not only in San Francisco, because of all these stupid and overlay of regulations that really don't help facilitate the building housing. Even Donald Trump had mentioned this recently on TV, that you wouldn't believe that why housing costs so much, because of these ridiculous bureaucratic rules for permits and restrictions on doing this, that, and the other thing. And it's done by people, these restrictions are written by people who have no practical experience or little or no experience in the construction field. You know, everybody's just playing an agenda, formulating an agenda so they look important, and that's one of the major problems. A lot of housing could be built a lot cheaper, at less cost for mortgages, and there would be a lot more of it built if there weren't these ridiculous building restrictions and all these licenses you have to get, and the time that's wasted. It's nearly 6 months to a year more in California, and for no good reason. So I would recommend that book for summertime reading. I don't know if it's on Kindle. So that would be should be of interest and keep you busy. Let's see. We're going to I'm still trying to get accustomed to this new system. And we're going to, play this. I was requested to repeat this on the, what the heck is it? I'm still having trouble with this new system here, the new auditing system. Where is it? Sorry, people. I'm just delaying here. Where is it? We did Will Rogers last time. Where is it? I'm sorry. This is the anniversary on Victory at Sea, and I was going to play that last time when we had some problems and with the new system. Let's see, what do we got here? Let's do Wernher von Braun.
He's also proud of him. Der Spiegel magazine runs with the headline, Germans in the front line. German television also pays tribute. The name Wernher von Braun is on everyone's lips. An American satellite is orbiting the Earth, the commentator says. A triumph for the U.S. Army research team headed by former German rocket expert Wernher von Braun.
Wernher von Braun. Ich habe im Jahr 1930 begonnen.
I started working for rocketry in space in 1930, and I have looked forward to this day for 28 years.
Nun diesen Tag herbeigesehnt, der uns jetzt das gewünschte Ergebnis gebracht hat.
Increasingly, the media focus extends to the missile man's private life. A happy von Braun, rocket fetishist, as loving husband and perfect dad. A flying visit to Germany. In the late 50s, von Braun crosses the Atlantic several times for family reunions. But the visits home are now also PR exercises. In 1959, with the support of the U.S. Army, a movie about the star rocketeer is made near Munich. A tricky business for everyone concerned.
There was the man who had created those bombs. He attacked my house. I was not a friend of his. I had to, right from the start, I had to resist becoming a close friend of his because he was charming. He could charm the pants off anyone, I think. And he was a very clever man. You knew that right away. I had tremendous arguments with him because he maintained that he was only a scientist, that he was not a Nazi. And I said, that's nonsense. Of course you're a Nazi. You belong to the Nazi party, and why do you say you're not an answer? We had these kind of discussions.
Premiere in Munich, glitz and glamour. The movie shows no trace of the discord between director and subject. Thompson doesn't present von Braun as a Nazi, more as a non-political opportunist.
So far, I've managed to steer clear of the brown shirts.
Braun bagage.
Then I mustn't join the party.
Was vielleicht ich tue es freiwillig?
You think I want to?
Aber wenn ich meine
it's the
Arbeit
price I have to pay if I want to continue my work.
Muss ich den Preis dafür zahlen?
Kurt Jürgens as Werner von Braun, impressive but one-dimensional. Director J. Lee Thompson had his work cut out with the real von Braun and the actor playing him.
I cast Kurt Jürgens because we needed a German actor. Kurt would always turn on the charm, as indeed von Braun was a charmer. And so the film became, in a way, not what I wanted, a fair balance.
An dem Tag, an dem die V-Raketen auf London fallen, ist der Krieg gewonnen. Reichsführer Himmler wird Ihnen selbst sagen, was Sie für Deutschland geleistet haben. Heil Hitler.
Heil Hitler.
Von Braun is pleased with the film, and so is the U.S. Army that sponsored it. Critics are less impressed. There's talk of whitewashing. In Far Off Huntsville, the movie does not cause much of a stir. The Army Rocket Center receives a high-ranking visitor. In 1959, President Eisenhower pays his first visit to von Braun's realm of rockets. But the old soldier keeps the Rocketeers at arm's length, and he is certainly not enamored with von Braun. The pictures are deceiving. Eisenhower is one of the few people who do not succumb to Werner von Braun's charm. Even so, the president bore gifts. Eisenhower's first visit brings a transfer to the civilian space agency NASA. Promotion and new opportunities. Von Braun hopes for new sources of funding for his 5,000-strong team of Rocketeers in Huntsville. Playing the Russian card, he secures the backing of an increasing number of decision-makers in Washington. He emphasizes the Soviet threat.
I'm convinced that the Russian concept is very clear. They consider the control of space around the Earth very much like, shall we say, the great maritime powers considered the control of the seas in the 16th through the 18th century. And they say if we want to control this planet, we have to control the space around it.
The 12th of April, 1961, another black day for America and for Werner von Braun. With Yuri Gagarin, the Soviets pull off another coup. The first man in space is a Russian. Sputnik was a shock. Gagarin's flight is a humiliation for the proud Americans and Werner von Braun. Incoming President John F. Kennedy, only recently established in the White House, immediately comes under massive pressure. He needs to react.
Kennedy's response to that, you know, he was mad. He turned people and said, I want to know what we can do to beat the Russians. Mm-hmm. We got to beat those people. And Kennedy understood the psychology of this. He understood the importance.
The young president has to show the world that he could rise to the Soviet challenge.
Well, we cut off part of it, so since we're still going to cuss this new system, we'll be back Friday for our hour-long program, The Best of the Week, and we'll have a lot of new stuff. For next week, 4th of July, we probably will have the Dean of Illinois Political Reporters and Real Journalists, Patrick Butler, will be on to fill us in on what's happening with Blago and Mr. Rowe and some other things about the most interesting in America where it's real politics. So this is Peter Paul Brizola. So we'll see you Friday. Thank you for listening, and it's up on the archives, and we'll be back Friday. Good night.